way down. And we find that this last hour, God is dealing with this inner man. And for so long, salvation has been something that is dressed up, removed and adorned. But now God is reaching us where we are and showing us what we ought to be in Him. Amen.
Praise God. I just want to bring a word to you tonight from Revelation chapter 12. Praise God. I hope some of you have been enjoying the Revelation tapes. For those of you who are on the two tapes a month, I hope you have been enjoying them. Praise God. Tonight the Lord speak a word to me. And the word is the woman and the dragon. We want to look at the woman and the dragon tonight. Let's take the first verse in Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I've heard people talk that the woman is Mary. You ever heard that one? Some people say the woman is Mary. And praise God. The only people who say that are those who never got a revelation from God. Because the woman in the Bible is the church. And Mary is only a type of the church. Now in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13. And in verse 43. Won't you find it for me? When you come to meeting with me, you must have a Bible. And you must be able to find chapter and verse quickly. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who is going to shine as the sun? The righteous. So it seemed to me that that woman is the righteous. Let's go back over it. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And the scripture said, it is the righteous that is going to shine forth as the sun. So we understand then that if you took out the word woman here, you could put righteous. Or you could put church. For short. Praise be to God. Amen. Now we go on. And the moon was under her feet. And the moon is a type of the church that receives its light from the sun. Just like the moon receives its light from the sun, so the church was standing on the church. Amen. God is showing you something here. God is showing you something here. The footstool of the church is the church. In other words, those of us who go on with God until we shine like the sun, we will be able to give light to the church, the moon, of those who didn't go on so far. And I'm going to show you another church. Three churches right here in verses 1 and 2. And the third church, and she being with child, travailed in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, what can a church bring forth? The church. Yes, but don't you see what I'm saying? One church is on the foot. The other one is standing on top. And the other one is within her. Oh my, I wonder if I'm leaving you. Let us go back over it. There's a church called the Outer Court Church. And there's a church called the Holy Place Church. Well, I'm saying to you tonight that the Holy Place Church is pregnant. Amen. And within her is the thing that God wanted all the while. The man-child church. Don't you hear me?
Yes.
Now, you get a little nearer. Amen. So the one that is underfoot is the outer court church that is doing their own thing. A church that is not under the headship of Jesus Christ is an outer court church. And let me tell you, brethren, if you belong to the outer court church, you will be trampled underfoot. For that's what the Bible says. Turn your Bibles around to the 11th chapter. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But, leave out. But the court which is without the temple, leave it out and measure it not. Why? For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. There is a time in the history of the church when God will give up the outer court church to destruction. For right now, God is saying, no more church playing, no more churchianity, no more go to Sunday church righteousness, but he's requiring a higher standard because he's calling forth the body of Christ. Don't you understand it? The body of Christ cannot have anything on our head but the crown of 12 stars. Don't you hear me? The body of Christ must have Jesus Christ as our head. For if it is the body of Christ, my body has my head on top of it. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And God give us a body so that we might learn what the body of Christ is.
Yes.
Oh yes. If you don't study your own body, you won't ever understand what the body of Christ is. For the body of Christ functions as your body. And a body must have a head. Oh, glory to God. And the head of the body of Christ is Christ. No other head. No double head. He will not put up with a double head. You cannot have a pope and have Jesus in the same place. It must be either the Pope or Jesus. And if you think I'm talking about the Pope of Rome, you better look around. For there are some little popes. And there's only one thing worse than a big pope, and that's a little pope. You believe me? Yes, when God, Jesus Christ, spoke, he said, don't you allow that church to have any other ruler but Jesus. You believe me? Turn your Bibles with me. Keep one finger in that revelation because I got to come back. You go forward to back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew. And you look at Matthew chapter 20. And verse 23, can you read for me, somebody?
And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them in the return
of my Father. Now verse 24.
And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers.
Okay. okay, because the two brothers wanted to be in a boss position. They wanted, they were quarreling for position. You ever heard a thing like that? The disciples of Jesus were quarreling for position.
Yes.
Does it sound familiar?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You can't give me position, I go away and form my own church. If I can't get my way, then I get a few of the brethren with me and I go off and I be the boss anyhow. See what I mean? This is what has been happening and happening and happening around us and in our churches. Well, God said no more. We have come to the end of plain church. God is bringing forth a body. And the only thing why the church is not completely destroyed is because the body has not yet come forth.
Amen.
You believe me? God is calling forth a body. And if you don't try to work together, you will be put outside in the darkness like the five foolish virgins. Next verse, 25.
But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them.
I want you to understand what he's talking about. He's not talking about the shepherds. He's talking about dominion. The word dominion is never used in the church, except for Jesus Christ reigning over the church, having dominion. But man must not have dominion over man. Do you understand?
Yes.
Blessed be to God. Hallelujah. Now go on.
And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man cannot to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Look here. You skip a verse. But let me tell you what this verse is saying. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. Praise be to God. And whosoever will, if you have minister, cut out that word minister. It has no meaning in the context of what Jesus spoke. He never said it. He said servant. He said servant, and he meant servant. It is the Catholic that wrote the Bible that put minister in there, and then they changed the meaning of the word minister to mean the head of the church. God, Jesus never wanted that. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you be the servant. He didn't say be the minister, be the head of the church. He said be the servant. Now, and whosoever will, and even as the Son of Man, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your slave. You remember that? That when you had servant there, you should mark it out and put slave. Now, the story here that Jesus is giving is the divine order. That is the divine order. But the order that is in the church today is the order of the dragon.
Glory.
It's the Babylonish order that is in the church today. Look at it yourself. Read it for yourself. And you will see yourself that God is saying that the order of the world is not to be in the church. Isn't that what he said?
Amen.
Now, the woman, therefore, that we're reading about here in Revelation, you get back for me to Revelation chapter 12. The woman that we are reading about, if the woman is the church, which I think we have well proven, because she has the crown on her head of 12 stars, that means she has the apostolic crown. The crown of glory that Jesus Christ gave to the apostles to give to us. This church has that crown. Remember that Rome said that they are as descended from Peter. Isn't that so? They say they are descended from Peter. And all the churches are claiming power to appoint apostles. I wonder if you're with me. Are you there?
Preach the word.
Oh, bless God. Amen. They have taken upon themselves power to appoint apostles, power to appoint ministries, power to send out missionaries. All the churches I'm talking about now. And they have not considered that their apostles are not God's apostles. Their ministers are not God's ministers. Their evangelists are not God's evangelists. For God said, I have placed in the church apostles, prophets. Where are the prophets of the today church? Amen. Most of the prophets of the church today will not be accepted in the churches. They will not allow you to come in there and say, thus saith the Lord, unless you tell them how pretty they are. Oh, yes. I was in a church one night, and I was sitting on the platform. It was a convention. And the minister that was preaching got rude. You ever heard a minister get rude on the pulpit? Get rude and begin to go on real bad. And the people were shouting, amen, amen. You know, sometimes they get in the groove to say amen, that whether you say good or bad, they say amen. You're all teased, amen, you know. And they just say amen, amen. And so they were amening and shouting. And he paused, like I pause here now. And as he paused, a woman jumped up in the back. And she spoke in a tongue that you could feel it shaking. Yes, deep down in your soul, you could feel the tongue that she was speaking, that it was definitely of God. And when the people realize, and the spirit, do you know that the devil comes to church? Oh, yes. The devil visit the congregations. I give you a proof from the Bible. The Bible said that on a certain day, when the sons of God get together, Satan also was there. Yes, sir. It was a convention Job had. Somebody teaches, oh, it was up in heaven that Satan went up. I didn't know Satan could go to heaven as he lied. The Bible said, none ascend to heaven but the Son of Man which cometh down from heaven. Satan can't go to heaven. Satan, the only place Satan get in touch with God is where we are. Because it's we have him here. Do you know that if Satan is in this building, it's we who have him here? Praise God. Amen. Anyhow, he comes in this building tonight. Somebody have him here. He has no authority in here. He can't come. He has to stay outside. And unless somebody in here has him here, he cannot come here. And if the person, and we rebuke him and drive him out, he cannot stay. Yes. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise God. And so, brethren, we see here then in Revelation that here is the church, the woman, the clean church. A good church. And the woman is pregnant with the thing that God wanted to bring on earth from the day he made Adam until this day. Not anymore a woman church, but a man church, meaning to say a life-giving church. Not the church that has to receive life from her Savior before she can bring forth any life, but a church that will have the life within itself. That means to say you will have Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost within you. Amen. Oh yes. So then, this woman church as we are here tonight is pregnant. Something is happening within the church, within your soul. Something new is happening. God is creating a new man. And this new man will be under the total authority of the head. But the dragon stand before her. The dragon, I say, stand before her. Now, what is this dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns? Huh? Nothing but the world system and the church system that is against God, that joined together, amen, to fight against the bringing forth of the child. When Moses was to be born, there was a battle in the world. Satan was fighting to stop the child from being born. And so Satan went out, and Satan got Pharaoh, his henchman.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And Satan got Pharaoh to kill all the babies. And he killed all the babies and he didn't catch the right one. Satan never learns. He never learns. Kill all the babies and he missed the right one. In the time of Jesus Christ, Satan got another man named Herod to kill all the babies and he missed the right one again. Don't you know that if he does it the third time, he's going to miss the right one again? And this is the one that's going to kill him.
Glory.
Amen. He's going to miss this man child and he's going to kill him. But the word of God tells us that the church is pregnant with this marvelous thing that is coming forth. And that Satan will try to kill it. And let me tell you something that you don't understand. That the word of God is on every level and every dimension.
Yes.
If you believe that the word of God is natural, you're not wrong. But if you don't know that it is spiritual, you're wrong.
Yes.
And if you don't know that it is in a higher dimension, it's coming to fulfillment, absolute, total fulfillment, you're still out of it.
Yes.
You get me? So it's natural, it's spiritual, it's full.
Yes.
Let's go back. It's natural, it's spiritual, it's perfect. Glory to God. So that God say, you will be a son of God. If God say, you are perfect. If God say, you will walk in the heavenlies. If God say, you will be like Jesus. Then you can jump and rejoice now. For no matter what happens, you're going to be like Jesus. If they put an atom bomb on your head and blow it, you're going to be like Jesus. Don't you understand? So the word is coming to its fullness. Whatever the word says, it's coming to its fullness. And there's nothing on earth or in hell that can stop it from coming to its fullness. It's coming to its fullness. Praise be to God. So if you plan to rejoice when it happens to you, start now. Amen. If you plan to rejoice, you better rejoice now, because nothing is going to stop it from coming to pass if you believe God.
Amen.
And so we see then that this woman is pregnant and she's suffering. She's in pain. She's travailing because Satan is doing everything possible to stop her from bringing forth. I heard about the 17,000 babies. But you'd be shocked to know that it's nearer 17 million babies that are being killed in this country for no other reason but that the man child is coming forward. And Satan is working on the natural level, amen, to try to stop the women from having children, because the children are turning to God. Oh yeah, Satan get them. He put them on drugs. He tear them up. He do all kind of things with them, and they turn around and turn to Jesus. Amen. You have hope for your children, brethren. Oh yes, no matter where you see them going, you go out there and you put your knees down and you tell God Almighty, amen. Woo. Amen. To bring them home. Bring them home, Jesus. Tell them by the hook or by the crook, said Jesus, you bring them home. Hallelujah. They're going to come. Nothing is going to stop them from coming home. My mother used to say, leave them alone and they will come home. And they, if they even leave their tails behind them, they're going to make it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, when Jesus Christ says a word that heaven and earth may pass away, but say, my word shall not pass away, neither shall my covenant with you shall pass away. He said, if the covenant of night and day, amen, can pass away, then he said, my covenant with you will pass away. All men can do, let him do it. All they can say, let him say it. All the devil can do, let him do it. Let the dragon work. But he shall never take away that which God has given to us and to the church. And the promise of the Lord God is Almighty is with us. For he said, you shall shine forth as the sun shineth in her strength. And he said, the brightness of the church will be seven times the brightness of the sun. Amen. Glory to God. You can't stop it. It's happening now.
Yes.
Rejoice in your God, brethren. Darkness all around.
Yes.
Thick darkness cover the people. But God Almighty said, he shall arise upon you with a shining. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 The woman clothed with the sun. She was in childbirth, paining to be delivered. I tell you, God said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said that he that letteth, whoever is holding back, you know him? He that letteth will let. He's going to hold back. He's going to hold back the Antichrist. He's going to hold back the beast. He's going to hold back the darkness. He's going to hold back midnight until you are ready. You think he's going to let go the beast if his people are not ready to handle the situation? If you see the beast coming, brother, jump your height for joy. For that means that God has given us the power to handle him. Praise be to God. You don't feel it. You don't see it. But believe it. You hear me? You don't see it. You don't feel it. But you can believe it. Because God says, his word shall not return unto him void. The woman is pregnant. Your soul is pregnant with God. There is something new within the innermost being of the church. Something new among the people of God. The people who know their God. There's a newness within you. You might not feel good tonight, but that has nothing to do with the newness that is within you. Blessed be to God Almighty. Amen. Because within the womb of the church, which is your soul, Your soul is the womb of the church. God is depending on your soul to bring forth the Christ, to bring forth that newness which he has planted in the air. To say God never plant unless he waters. And when you get all those bounces and blows, you think it's fire, but it's water. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what happened to you, it's the water of God. That God know the climate, you see. God know the climate in which you will grow. If you have it easy, you're not going to make it. If I give you $1 million, sister, you're not going to make it. The $1 million would get you so involved with spending it. Amen. No, it's true. It's not going to be that way. God knows it. And so he gives you the kind of climate that makes you grow. All the worry, all the problem, all the trouble, all the hardness of life, all the lack of jobs is part of what is going to make you trust your God. Don't you know it? So praise be to God. Tonight, I am saying to you, as a word from God, that the woman is the church, and the man-child is the offspring of the church. And the dragon, who is that? What is that? The dragon can be divided into three distinct dimensions. Not parts, but dimensions. For every part is in the other part. The dragon is a spirit. It is the spirit of the world as we know it. And the spirit of lawlessness and rebellion as we know it. Did you know that the abomination of desolation is the sin that destroyed the world? Amen. Do you know that there was a sin in heaven before man was created? Do you know that that sin came down and wrecked the beautiful world that God had made? Did you know that God made the world perfect and beautiful? And do you know that the Bible said that when God looked over the edge of hell,
well, glory.
The word abyss, don't let words fool you. Don't let words fool you. He said he looked over into hell.
Yes.
And he said it was chaos. He said it was chaotic. Everything was mixed up, the water and the land mixed up together. It was mud. And he said darkness was upon the face of the deep. Don't you know God brought light before the sun was made?
Yes.
Come on, there, come with me now. He said, let there be light. And there was light. And he divided the light from the darkness. And the sun wasn't made yet. Brethren, the word of God is something not for fools. Not for unbelievers, but for believers. God was talking about good and evil. He made a division. So let the good be to itself, and let the evil be to itself. And so, afterwards he made the sun. But the light of his presence had already shined into the darkness of hell, and the demons fled away from him. Hallelujah. That's why when Adam came, he didn't see any darkness. He didn't see any devil. He didn't know that the devil was in the garden there. Amen. Because he was abolished into his own realm of darkness. And it was all peace and glory and beauty and love. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Do you understand? And then we see then that this abyss and this darkness and this hell is the place was caused by a rebellion, by a lawless spirit that was let loose through the angel that fell, and he created lawlessness. He created sin. There was no sin before. He created destruction. And he's still doing it tonight. Don't you know that? Satan is still working destruction among the people of disobedience by his spirit. But spirits don't dwell alone. The Bible tells me that there is a demoniac kingdom. Did the Bible tell you that?
Yes.
Let me tell you, let me give you a word from you. Luke, read for me somebody. Just read for me Luke chapter 4. And I think it is between verse 4 and 6. Where Satan said that he had a kingdom and he was offering it to Jesus. Amen. And that whoever he would give the power, they would be in power. For he was a king. He was ruling. Somebody read that for me.
And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it.
Amen. He was showing him his kingdom. And he was saying, I will give you this kingdom if you make a deal with me.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, just you make a deal with me and I'll hand over everything to you tonight. Because it was delivered unto me. He didn't say by Adam, but you could safely add that.
Yeah.
Amen. That it was delivered unto me by Adam. Now, brethren, you see then that if in that early time, 2,000 years ago, Satan said that he had a kingdom and it was given unto him by Adam. And today, you must have many, 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 many millions more people in the world than you had at that time. Then can you understand how big and how vast his kingdom would be tonight? Amen. And God never gave him the kingdom. He took it away from Adam. But because, amen, he has this kingdom, he is proclaiming himself to be a king. And he's not satisfied. He's not satisfied. He wants to have all the people in his kingdom, and those of us who belong to the kingdom of God, he declare war upon us. The Bible said he war against the saints. You understand? But we are coming down to a time very, very, very shortly when we will hear, we'll come to verse 7. This same chapter 10. Somebody read verse 7.
If thou therefore wilt worship me.
No, sorry. We're talking about now Revelation, sorry. I'm going back to Revelation 12. That's the main topic. I had only gone to Luke 4 to prove that Satan had a kingdom.
And there was four heavens.
Yes.
Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not,
neither was their place found any more in heaven.
Good. Verse 9.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and sin which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him.
Yes, don't let those words disturb you, heaven and earth. The only heaven where there is war is the dwelling place of God that is down here. So this is where the war is.
Amen.
And the Bible says that the day is coming when Michael, the angel of God, the archangel that fights for the people of God, is going to give us the power and the strength to cast the devil out of all the human beings. In other words, do you remember when Jesus sent out the 70 disciples? When the 70 returned to him and told him that they saw devils cast out of people, what did he say? He said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning that day. You follow what I mean? So the heaven he was talking about is the heaven of God within human beings, where God must dwell in us, that every time we give place to the devil, we are giving God's kingdom to the devil. Every time we give way to the devil, we are allowing God's throne to be desecrated by Satan. Are you there? Amen. Now let's go on. We see then the devil, the dragon being a spirit that has been in the church from Paul's time. Paul said that the spirit doth now work amongst us. Verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Didn't he say the spirit doth now work? Oh yes. Now, we go on. We see then that it is a spirit and it is a kingdom. But it is something else. It is something else. If you look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again and look at verse 7. Somebody read verse 7 for me. And then you will see that it is now a man. Huh? Spirit, kingdom, man. So the dragon is everything. It's not just one thing. The one world church, the one world government, all working together. Verse 3 is the same. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of the devil. The word perdition there is the same word apollyon in the Greek, which is translated perdition or destruction or the devil. You understand? Because the devil is the father of destruction. The word Apollyon means destruction. And it means the devil. And they translate it here, the son of perdition. But I want you to notice carefully that Jesus said that the son of perdition... Yes, there's another scripture which said that he goeth in his place and shall return at his time. See, that's way down in Revelation. You remember that scripture? Some Revelation 17. Somebody, see if you find that there for me. Yes, it is 17 and verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. See, And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not, and yet is. So it's something that was, and it's not at that time when it was written, and yet at the end of time he will come forth again. Out of the bottomless pit. And God says, out of the same abyss that God looked over the edge of the abyss and saw Satan. I tell you something more about the abyss. You remember when Jesus Christ met the demoniac? You remember when Jesus met the demoniac? And the demoniac came towards him, and the power of God came down on him, and the spirits said, please don't cast us out into the abyss. That's the scripture which they translate bottomless pit, but it is the abyss. Please don't throw us into the abyss, because once they get thrown in there, they can't come out again until Jesus Christ comes and loose them for a season. You see what I'm saying? So if we study our scriptures well and understand where we are tonight, we are at a place, get back to Revelation 12, we are at a place where the dragon is trying to prevent you from coming forth in the man-child. Do you understand? All the things that are happening to you, and that is happening in the world, and the persecution against the church, and the problems that the church is having, it's the preventing that the dragon is trying to prevent the man-child from being birthed. And the Bible said when he is birthed, the dragon going to try to kill him by fighting him, but God will lift him up above him, give him power over him. So that means to say that thing that God, if the devil can't and right tonight, is that the church in which you are is under bombardment, but it is only to bring forth that which God wants you to bring forth from the beginning. That mind of Christ. That emotion that you have within you that has been untamed, that God wants to bring under his government. But it's not only God that's working on your emotions. The devil is working on your emotions too. It's not only God that's working on your mind. Your mind is being bombarded by Satan. All the things that you see happening around. I read some things in your newspapers. I read some things that happen here in San Francisco and in this part of the world that I never knew that those things would happen in hell. Oh yes. The nation and the people are becoming demons.
Yes.
Oh yes. You're dealing with some people and the people are not humans at all. I don't know if you ever had that problem, that you are reasoning with a person in a human way and the response you are getting is not human. It's demonic. The person does not have human reason, human love. I'm not talking about God's love now. Not even human love they have. Not even human reason they have. The desires that come out of human beings, they're having other desires that humans, I never knew humans thought of something. Because to tell you the truth, the animals out in the field have never thought of some of the things that I see people doing now. Praise be to God. But it seems to me that we are right there, and if I can excite your pure mind tonight, brethren, to say to you that God has sent me with a message to sharpen your weapon again, just to let you know that God is not asleep, that the time is nearer than the last time when I was here. Very much nearer. And I am not giving up on prophecy. I sent you a word of prophecy that a brother prophesied from Dallas. And if the prophecy don't come to pass, now it's going to come to pass. That's how I feel about it. The reason is because this is what God told me. And whether the brother wants to believe it, it's going to come to pass today or tomorrow. And it didn't come to pass. And somebody wants to say it's a lie. I believe everybody should hear from God themselves. And I still believe that you're sitting on a powder keg. And I still believe that this is the mercy of God. Why the keg don't go off. Oh yes. I remember the case of Jonah. That God sent Jonah to Nineveh. And God said to Jonah, tell Nineveh that I'm going to destroy the city. Because you see, the city of Nineveh was built contrary to the wishes of God. And therefore Nineveh had to be destroyed. But the people, there were some righteous in Nineveh. And God said, you will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. There were some righteous in Nineveh, and the righteous cried to God. The Bible said that the king got so afraid of God, and he got so frightened of the word of God, that the king put everybody on a fast, the dogs and the cats, and the cows and the goats and the sheep. Everything was put on a fast. And the Bible say, when evening come, and both man and animal begin to lift their voice and cry to God, that God's heart touched him. And I believe somebody cried to God. And I believe God's holding back because of somebody. Hallelujah. But I believe that one day he will hold back no more. Amen. I believe that God sent angels down into Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and that Abraham held up the angels. You hear me, brethren? I wonder if you're really hearing me with the right ears. Somebody is holding up. Somebody is holding back the day of the Lord. You hear me? And Abraham held up the angel. And he pleaded. And he pleaded with them. And he pleaded with them. And he wrestled with them. Blessed be to God Almighty. And he wrestled until he could wrestle no more. And fire rained down from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think San Francisco and the Bay Area is better than Sodom and Gomorrah, or worse? Amen. It's left to be seen. I believe that God's word will come to pass though it tarry. You hear me, brethren? I believe that though the vision tarry, it will surely come to pass. And I believe that the people of God are not getting down into sackcloth and ashes and prayer and fasting. I believe that there is a weight on this congregation. Believe you me, sister. I don't know how you stand it. I don't know how you stand it. But something is basically wrong. That the congregation is in a low ebb of weakness. Spiritual weakness. Don't let Babylon wear you down. You hear me, brother? You hear me, sister? Don't let Babylon wear you down. The Bible said, and they weared down the saints. God help us. Amen. When you feel that your light is getting dim, when you feel that winter is taking charge of you and you're getting cold, get down in prayer and fasting and fast before God until your candle light up again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God says, pray that your flight be not in the winter nor on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation such as never was since God made man until that time.
Hallelujah.
I remember God speaking to one church there in Revelation 3. He said, repent, or else I come and move the candlestick out of the way. Except thou repent, he said, I'll remove the candlestick out of the way. I don't know what is wrong, but all I know is that there is a deadness. There is not that life of God. I know people can be tired, you know, but no matter how you tired, you're giving off some form of life. You can feel the energy moving, the energy of God moving. And I say, I want to bless you tonight. I want to let the blessing of Almighty God fall upon you. I want to pray that the Spirit of the Living God will move in this place. Hallelujah. That the very world, hallelujah, will shine with the glory of God. I want to bless you. Hallelujah. That your eyes be anointed with eyes out. That you may see. Oh God, let this people see. Lord God, bring forth visions. Bring forth your light in their midst. That they may see. Amen. So that the darkness that covered the land and the gross darkness that covered this area will not come into this wall.
Hallelujah.
But that your people may see. Lord God, anoint the understanding of your people, Lord. Your people, Lord. Amen. And let your people understand beyond the natural and understand the deep things of the Spirit. Oh Lord God, let your people be anointed like the priest of old. Let their ears be anointed with the blood. Let their ears be anointed with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That they may hear you, Lord. When you speak from your throne, Lord. That they may hear and understand. Oh, Shabbat. Glory to God. Let their right tongue, the tongue of the apostolic ministry that you sent to them, dear Lord God, let it be anointed, Lord God, with the blood. Let the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, bring them under divine relationship with God. Hallelujah. Kesha. Kesha Maha. That your people, oh God, might hear God. And might understand God. And anoint their big toe, Lord God. The big toe of their right foot, Lord God. That they may walk, Lord God, in your ways. You come, Ashia. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And let them not fall by the wayside because of the oppression of the enemy. Hallelujah. Hear our cry, O God. and answer our supplication and deliver this people out of the hand of the enemy and out of the oppression of the dragon. Thank you, Jesus. Let us rise to our feet. Hallelujah. And let us put our hands in the hand of God. Thank you, Jesus. And let the Lord God bring forth His deliverance in our midst. Hallelujah. Lord God, forgive the sin of your people. Forgive the sin of your people, Lord God. And heal them, O God. Hallelujah. Let the praise of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. Hallelujah. Anoint your people, dear Lord God, at this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Break down the separating walls between us and thee, O Lord God, and save them for thy mercy's sake. In the name of Jesus, good shepherd, gather your sheep unto you, I pray. Hallelujah. Yanda la mala bala shatta la mashatta.